So March Madness is my favorite time of year because there's all hoops, everything, and there's nothing like a basketball tournament, right?
Basketball tournaments are excellent. I will give you that.
It's so much fun just to have, like when there's more than one game in one building, that's cool. That doesn't happen in any other sort of scenario with hoops.
This is very true. One of my coworkers was in Providence for the Duke UNC Wilmington game, is that right?
Yep.
And then whatever other game was that afternoon, and they saw two great ones. So yep. It is cool to have multiple teams in the same building. Yeah.
But anyway, March Madness is your favorite time of year because that's when the Masters commercials start airing.
That's very true. I have been, in fact, when I was at my buddy's house this weekend, we had the games on, and that like 5 second Masters commercial comes on, and I said, "Yep." And then some new guy with a really deep Barry White voice says, "The Masters on CBS." It sounds like Batman almost. And I said, "Guys, that was my favorite part of that game right there."
All right, so this is your thing, so take it away.
I love the Masters. It's my favorite annual sporting event. If anybody knows me by now, this is not a surprise. But my main man, David, came up with a great idea for our Masters talk this year. The past couple of years, we've talked about fashion on the course, which, of course, is a big deal these days. But he wanted to switch it up, and he made a great recommendation, which was, let's rank the holes at Augusta National. At first, I was like, okay, that sounds good. And then I got into doing my rankings. I was like, okay, this is really fun. So what we've done is both on our... In the shadow of secrecy, we've ranked our holes 1 to 18, and then I shared my rankings with David, who used his degree from Syracuse University to calculate high technical mathematics to come up with the average rankings of our of the holes together between what David selected and what I selected.
Very and scientific so stuff.
It's high science. And I believe the goal is that you'll share the rankings, and then we'll kind of go back and forth on what we think's wrong or right about those.
Yeah. So, I basically just took everything and gave them a score based on where it was and divided by two. So it's, there's a lot of variety because you get ones where you had a hole ranked really high and I had it ranked really low. So it comes somewhere in the middle. Do you want to give any sort of like total course overview or you just want to dive in?
The course is gorgeous. It's really unique. By now, folks know the story of, you know, how it started, how it was built. And quick side story, Tiger Woods is actually working on his first Tiger Woods designed course in the United States. It's somewhere in Texas. It's called Blue Jack National. And a lot of the marketing and a lot of the aerial shots I've seen of this course are very similar to that of Augusta National, in that it's generally speaking very open with kind of pockets of trees here and there, a little bit of water, and it looks gorgeous. So we'll throw that in the show notes. But the point is, the course is great. It's really unique in the golf world, and that it's the only major that comes to the same course every single year and has since really the beginning of the tournament. It's hard to really compare that to other sports, too, because, you know, when championships are played, they're typically played on a home or away, you know, team's course. So there's so much to love about Augusta National. I will shut my trap and let's get into it.
All right. So they actually, the rankings sort of group themselves pretty well into some distinct tiers based on how we each rank them. So I'm going to start at the bottom. We'll work our way to the best hole last. All right.
Perfect.
So our lowest tier I've dubbed the meh. So these are generally the ones that we both had in our bottom third.
Also, meh holes, we would still play them 7 days a week if we could.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so drum roll. You got a drum roll for me? Coming in number 18, hole number 4, flower and crab apple.
So we both had it as our least favorite.
I had it as my second least. This was your least favorite, my number 17.
Number 4, flower and crab apple. My first bullet point in my notes is, it's just so effing hard. This is the only hole in the course that I legitimately dislike, there's no part of the hole I enjoy. It's a downhill par 3. It may as well be 300 yards. It's ridiculously long. The green is impossible to land, especially with a couple of the pin placements like on Sunday. It's so crazy. The green is so hard to hold. it can be a little bit more fun with, there's like a middle pin where a lot of the balls will kind of travel to. There's a little bit of a backstop you can put it on. But it's essentially my least favorite because of the ridiculousness and length and just the sheer challenge of the hole. I know we want to see the best golfers in the world play the best holes, but this one to me is the least exciting. And when I get to it, I'm like, okay, let's just get to the next hole.
Yeah, 240 is the actual measurement. So the front nine, I admittedly haven't built an intimate relationship with because they're not on TV as much.
Fair, totally fair.
Usually the coverage picks up in the second half, and I don't know the course in and out like you do. So my bottom half is filled with a lot of the front nine just because I don't know the holes. For some of those, I looked at them more like I kind of vacillated on my rankings for each hole based on a lot of different criteria. Some of them were more like, is the hole really scenic and pretty? Some of them were, what great moments do I remember from past tournaments? And some of them were, how would I like to play this hole? And this one falls squarely into that category. My complete notes were, long par threes are no fun for Dave.
So yeah, we're aiming for like a double or triple bogey on this hole. Yeah. We'd make a
mess.
I also put
bad name, probably my least favorite name of all the holes.
I got nothing more to say about that.
All right. So the next in the meh category, our number 17 is hole number one, Tee Olive.
Tee Olive is one of several straightish, longish par fours on the course that doesn't have much to it. Probably the best thing about the first hole is getting to watch the Jacks and Gary Players and Arnies of the world tee off with the ceremonial tee shot on Thursday morning. But generally speaking, there's not much to it. And there's a few of these that we'll get into hopefully shortly, these kind of shortish, longish par fours that don't have a lot of character and they're just the other holes at Augusta.
So this was your number 15 and it was my number 18, my last. How I'd like to play it. My general feeling is I don't care for the first hole on pretty much any golf course because it's the hole where my swing is the worst because it's the first time I've swung a club in a year or more. So I'm always banging out the cobwebs on the first hole, so they just don't sit right with me.
Quick story about number one, friend of the show and friend of mine, Mr. Matt Lincoln. For anybody who listens in the West Palm Beach area, he's your local sports guy. He won the media lottery last year and got
so
to play
cool.
Augusta National, which is the coolest thing on earth. And he showed up, he went to the range, he hit some balls, and he felt really good. He gets up to the first tee, and of course, he will never be more nervous in his life than playing Augusta, right? Just like anybody would. Gets up to the first tee, stripes it down the middle. He's like, oh, that is exactly what I wanted. Gets up to his second shot, stripes it to like 8 feet from the cup. And he's like, Justin, I struggled to three putt from there. The greens were so ridiculously fast.
Wow.
He's like, that was the closest I was to birdie all day, and nothing was even like 8 feet. It was, you know, another 40 feet I was the closest from that. So that's probably my favorite hole number one story.
Nice. And the specs on that one, par four, 445 yards. I'll start adding those at the beginning as we go. You good on that?
Let's do it.
All right. Number 16, this was your 17th hole and my 15th rated hole. This is par four, 450 yards. It is hole number seven, and I don't know how to pronounce that word.
Hole number seven is Pampas. And again, I don't have much to say here except it's another longish, straightish par four. Some of these longish, straightish par fours were shorter before they tiger-proofed the course, but there's three or four of these that are very similar, and I don't have much else to say about that.
So the green looks kind of cool from afar. It's just surrounded by bunkers. It just looks menacing. Like, it looks like some big meanie gritting his teeth and staring at you from down the fairway. It's scary. It's like facing off against Randy Johnson on the pitcher's mound or something. I don't know. When I'm playing, I always mess up one hole that looks sort of straightforward, and I think this would be the one that I would really lose it on.
It's funny. I think a lot of golfers would tell you that they'd rather play a hole that has some sort of turn, whether it's a hard dog leg or not, than a straight hole. I always find it harder to visualize the shot when it's dead straight.
That's absolutely right. And another knock against it is, well, I'll get into this more with some of the holes later, but it's the... the green is it's very open. There's not a lot of trees around it, and I prefer a more secluded kind of area.
Okay. Yes, that will definitely come up again later.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Okay, this is the last member of the meh category. This was both of our number 14th ranked hole. Par 4, 440 yards. It's hole number 14, Chinese Fir.
Once again, a longish, straightish par 4, much like the ones we just discussed. The green can be fun here. There's a little bit of a backstop. I think it's on the Saturday pin. I know Phil Mickelson made an eagle there. It was on one of his Masters runs over the past couple years, which was really fun to watch. So the green has some character. The green has a couple places where you can get it really close on an approach shot. But other than that, again, it's one of those kind of longest, straightest par fours. I've now said it several times, and that's where these kind of holes fit.
Yeah, this hole kind of has no chance at a good rating because it's right after Amen Corner.
This is a fair point.
It's like it's a forgotten hole, but it's underrated as an important hole on the course because you're just coming off of Amen Corner and you have to like really focus up and make sure because it looks straightforward, but you can't make a mistake there.
That's a great point.
All right, so now our next category is the outliers. These are ones where one of us had it ranked relatively high and one of us had it ranked relatively low, and actually both of these we just swapped ratings on both of them. And it was an exact tie. I'm going to put mine a little higher because I'm in charge. so I'll make yours the number, where are we? 15?
Let's 14. See, we did 14, yeah.
So our number 14, par 4, 460 yards, hole number 9, Carolina Cherry. And this was your number 8, my number 16.
So it's funny you mentioned the wide open greens because this is a perfect example of one of those holes. So number 9, the Carolina Cherry, for me, it's all about the approach shot. The approach shot at number 9 is a classic Masters shot to me. It's a great look uphill towards a green that slopes severely from back to front. And really on almost any day, you're trying to put the ball past the pin and spin it back. And that to me is like a classic Masters shot. There's a very challenging false front in front of the green, and I love that it's a great closing hole to the front nine where if you bomb a drive, you get a great shot at birdie, but the green is so difficult that you have to be careful too. It's a great look uphill towards the clubhouse and some of the other buildings in the property, and again, for me, it's like, okay, this is the approach shot on nine, it's a classic Masters shot, and we're ramping up for the back nine, so for me, that I enjoy that part of the hole.
Those are some good points. I docked it a little bit for the open green, and also the green is like the top of a Volkswagen Beetle. It's just like a mound sticking out of the ground. It's the worst. But killer name, one of the best names on the course.
Alliteration for the win.
Yes. And I also docked a little bit because I feel like it's almost right. It's just steps away from 18. Like when you look at the course from above, and I feel like it's just competing with 18 a little bit much. And I feel like 18 is the more iconic hole.
That's fair.
Okay. That moves us to number 13. And this was just a straight swap. This was my 8 and your 16. This is par 4, 440 yards, hole number 17, Nandina.
This I throw in my category of longest, straightest par 4s. The green can certainly be fun, and it's one of the last places where you're going to have a legitimate shot at making a birdie, especially on a Sunday. And, of course, it has the added benefit of maybe the greatest Masters play-by-play call of all time when Nicklaus made a birdie there in 1986. When he won his last major, and that definitely gives it some bonus points. But overall, for me, it fits in that longest, straightish par four category.
I have written down that it is the forgotten hole between what I call the TV holes and 18.
That is a great way of putting it. It is a forgotten hole.
And in that way, it's sort of like, you know, you hear about the trap game on the schedule, like the game you're overlooking. I feel like number 17 is the trap hole because you're coming off of 16, you're looking ahead to 18, and you can't forget about 17.
There's definitely much more character on 16 and 18 than there is 17. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then like you alluded to it, the only other thing I've written down for this hole is maybe. Yes, sir.
It doesn't get old. That's the best.
All right, so that does it for the outliers. Now we move to the middle of the pack tier. These are ones that we all sort of had lumped in the same place. So we'll move on to number 12. Our number 12 hole is your 12th and my 9th. It's par 4, 465 yards, hole number 18, Holly.
Fairly simple, another longish par 4 that got extended a lot back when they tiger-proofed the course by, I want to say, like 75 yards. The tee shot is beautiful and difficult. Now it's like a kind of very narrow, a narrow hallway of trees, if you will. And that kind of look up the fairway where it opens up, you got those bunkers on the left, is a really, really cool shot. It's a great TV shot from that tower above the 18th tee. It certainly gets bonus points for being the last hole on the course. There's nothing too incredible here, but the walk-up 18 camera shot where you see the eventual winner, or usually what the eventual winner will be, is walking uphill to see the, I will say patrons and not fans, because I have to follow the Masters rules. When you see the patrons surrounding the green, great amphitheater there for watching the final hole, and it definitely fits into your surrounded by people or things around the green.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that I had it sort of in the middle of the pack, because there's so many images etched into my memory from this hole.
Very true.
Another great name. It's actually a perfect name for the last hole, I think. Just ending on Holly just sounds right. Playing it, I think that this hole suits my swing a little bit. A lot of people would call my swing action a slice. I prefer fade. I think ultimately it landed where it was because last holes are kind of sad. That means you don't get to play anymore.
This is very true. And to your point, there have been some great memories here. Tiger's first win in 97 with that short three-footer and the giant fist pump. Back when we were at the Cuse watching Phil win his first major.
4 inches
making that
of
putt
time.
18. Yeah, that was awesome. Mark O'Meara making a putt to win back in, I was thinking, 98. It was the year he won two majors. That was a big deal. Schwartzel rolling a putt in there. So there's definitely been cool stuff that happened at 18 and some heartbreaking stuff that happened at 18. And I guess that's true of any final hole. But definitely... Those are all good memories. What's next?
What's next is our number 11. It was your number 11 and my number 10. It is par 4, 495 yards, hole number 10, Camellia.
That is a long par 4, sir.
Yes.
That is what you and us, that is what us normal golfers like to call a par 6.
Yes.
So number 10 has the unique characteristic of always being the first playoff hole whenever there's a playoff at the Masters, which I always found very interesting because it's not one of the quote-unquote signature holes. But of course, they need to do something close to the clubhouse so they can move the playoff along. There's been some great finishes there. Adam Scott won his Masters a couple years ago on the 10th hole.
Yep, in the rain.
That's in the rain. Mike Weir won his
only
major there. Canadian lefty there on the 10th hole. So it definitely gets some bonus points for doing that. The tee shot for me, it just looks cool. It's downhill. Unfortunately for your game, you've got to play a crazy draw. And it's a really difficult green. There's that big cross bunker about 70 yards short of the green, which doesn't really come into play. There's one on the green side, but the green is ginormous. And there have been some really cool moments there. I remember Tiger Woods making a bomb there. Ben Crenshaw, in one of his Masters, he made like an obnoxious 80-footer on the 10th green. The green's got a lot of character. And the hole seems like it would be fun to play if you can crank a draw, because it'll run downhill.
Yeah, there's so many great moments in there because of the playoff. The ones I have written down here specifically, you said Adam Scott. I also have Bubba playing out of the
woods. Of course, Bubba.
And I remember that Angel Cabrera one. I think it was Kenny Perry and
Chad Campbell, maybe, if there was three of them.
Yeah.
Or was it just Kenny? Keep on. Go ahead.
But yeah, there's just a lot of memories there. And even from a TV point of view, obviously playing, the drive would be a disaster for me. But even from a TV point of view, the view off the tee doesn't do touch much for me. But the approach shot on television is gorgeous.
It's really cool. You're kind of hitting over a valley almost. And it's just a beautiful look. And that fits your requirement of having some trees around the green.
Yes, very secluded hole, yeah.
Yeah, it looks really cool. It's a great point. All right, let's keep going.
Okay, moving on to our number 10. This was your number 10 and my number 10. It is a par 3, 180 yards. It is hole number 6, Juniper.
I'm partial to par 3s. I always think it requires the most creativity when designing a hole. And I feel like number 6 fits that. You get an interesting downhill shot. There's not a lot of those on the course. And I love that the fans... Excuse me, I just got arrested by a Masters representative. The patrons, I love that the patrons get to sit on the hill in between the tee shot and the green. They basically look up and they see the balls coming overhead. It's a really cool and unique place to sit on the course. There's always some great birdies here. There are a couple of pins that you can attack and play off some backstops or some hills. And it's just a nice par three with some good character.
Yeah, I love the valley in the middle. I'm partial to par threes as well, and I like downhill par threes especially. This would be mostly what I have to say about this is this would be a lot higher if it wasn't on the same course with two of the most iconic par threes in golf history.
So true.
Okay, that takes us out of the middle of the pack and into our largest tier, which is opposites attract.
Okay.
So these were ones, they're all pretty tightly grouped, but they're all ones where one of us had it pretty high and one of us had it pretty low, but they all averaged out to about the same amount. And we're into our back nine, so to speak.
Nice. We're making the turn.
Yeah. So this is our number 9. This was your 7th pick and my 13th pick. It is a par 5, 570 yards.
Woof.
Number 8. Yellow Jasmine.
This is a hike. Another par 5 that increased in length significantly since the Tiger proofing years. It's all about this second shot for me, which is blind. This to me is another classic Masters shot. So you'll see a guy grip it and rip it and go for the green in 2 and just hope that it's close. The green is really unique. It's long and narrow, and it's surrounded by a bunch of big mounds where you can always see kind of some unique bounces, positive or negative, throughout the weekend. And I find that to be an interesting characteristic of the hole. And eagles can be had here. It's a fun hole, especially with that second shot. And it's a hole that most folks will want a birdie all 4 days because with a great second shot, you should be able to do it if you can get your third or whether that's a putt or a chip close to the flag.
This is our first par 5, right? Did we have one yet?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, par 5s are my nemesis. So I'm usually slanted against them from the start. I really like the approach shot here, and it's got a great name, but I just think that hole number 2, which is another long par 5, has more character, and we'll get to that one shortly.
That is a fair point. Carry on, sir.
Okay, that'll move us to... Hole number 8. This was your 13 and my 6. So a pretty big disparity on this one. This is a par 4, 455 yards. It is hole number 5, Magnolia.
I went back and forth on this hole, and it could have been higher, but there's just so many dang good holes on this course. Again, it's another longish par 4, but it's kind of unique. The way they show the tee shot on the course is one of many secluded tee shots on the course. We don't see a lot of patrons. The drive is just... The drive on the hole looks very different than anywhere else on the course. There's those two fairway bunkers up the left. You can pretty much play any shape of shot on the hole. And then the approach shot is unique in a way that it's one of those greens where there aren't many fans around it. So when you see the coverage on TV, you'll see somebody putting with just woods behind them, which is a cool, unique way to look at the hole, which is very different than elsewhere on the course.
You basically made my argument for me.
Okay.
this is just tucked onto the edge of the course. The like you said, the green is just in a corner by the woods, and not a lot of people end up at the hole because it's on the edge of the property. The tee shot is the whole course kind of slowly draws left, but it's sort of like it's up on a ridge to the right. It's just beautiful. I'm an introvert. I like to be by myself. I just imagine playing this hole solo at like 7 o'clock in the morning someday and having nobody around. It would be awesome.
It seems like a very peaceful hole, and it's usually shown in the shadow, especially the tee shot, because it's early in the round, and you know we still got shadows, whether in the morning or early afternoon, and it does have some character to that point. It is definitely a unique hole on the course.
Yeah, this is easily my favorite hole from the front nine, so that's why I had it as high as I did.
I can dig that.
Okay, that'll take us to our number seven. So this is sort of the reverse. You had this one high, and I had it low. It was your number five and my number 12. This is par five, 575 yards, hole number two, pink dogwood.
Great hole to rip a driver. It's long, and it's open, and it's downhill, and it sets you up for maybe one of the coolest second shots on the course. For me, that second shot is always like, okay, this person's round is starting. This is the first big shot of the round. Beautiful look towards the green on the second shot. I love the look of the hole and looking downhill into that green that's surrounded by bunkers. And Louis Oosthuizen's double eagle here a few years back was the coolest thing ever. It was so much fun to watch that ball travel across the entire green and go in. That was a lot of fun.
You made a really great point about this is where someone's day is getting started. I hadn't thought about it that way, but I definitely wrote down the Oosthuizen shot. I remember that. This one lost points for me mostly just because of the open nature of it, and it being sort of in the middle of the course.
That's fair. And it's for me, when I say it's the round is starting, a better way of saying that is it's the first major scoring opportunity in my mind. You don't see a ton of birdies on one for many reasons. But number two, you always see guys gripping it and ripping it, trying to get there in two, or at least close in two, and getting some red numbers on the board early in the round. The excitement's killing me. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're up to our number six. This was your number four and my number 11. This is a par four, 350 yards, hole number three, Flowering Peach.
I knew that this would be one that we'd be far off on. It's a really interesting hole. It's super short. It's only 350 yard par four. I don't think they've ever changed the length of it. And I love the fact that this hole gives the pros fits, and you and I can sit at home and be like, that's a driver and a nine iron. And so the fact that it's so short and differentiating itself from a lot of the other par fours on the course gives it such great character. You can hit anything off the tee. You'll see some guys try and bomb a drive and leave a short chip. You could hit like a five iron off the tee and still have a very manageable second shot into the green. The green is super tight, really hard to keep on there. It's basically up on a plateau. And sometimes a near perfect pitch isn't good enough. And I love that about the hole. I enjoy that it's a normal par four for the rest of us, but it gives all these folks a lot of the yips. And I know it was Tiger like blocked a drive there one year when he didn't win and like doubled the hole. And it seems so simple and so innocent, but it can really ruin somebody's round.
Yeah. Whenever I'm playing around and I walk up to a short par four, I get excited. I feel like it's something I can take advantage of. This hole kind of fades off to the right a little bit. So I feel like I'd be good at it. I picture if I was playing Augusta, this would be the hole where I'd be like, okay, now I'm getting going. I can find my stride here.
Very true. Very true. And I this would be a fun hole to play because there's so many different ways you can do it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is one of those ones where I had it number 11, but it probably could have been as high as six. It's just like all these holes are so, I like them all so much. So then our final entry from the opposites attract tier is our number five hole. It was your number nine and my number five. It is a par four, 505 yards, hole number 11, white dogwood.
505 yards.
505.
That is a long par four. It's so hard. This hole, when it was lengthened, just became so much harder than it was before it was Tiger proofed. Consistently one of the hardest holes on the course, and I believe historically it is the hardest on the course relative to the par. It's certainly been the hardest in the past several years. Our boy Link, who we referenced earlier in the show, he said, without a doubt, the approach shot on the 11th is far and away the most intimidating shot on the course.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
because it looks like you have nowhere to put it. I'm just gonna hit it 60 yards right of the green, because
I
can't imagine
down the hill. Yeah,
right. And can't imagine going anywhere near any of those pins. They've lengthened it so much over the years. The second shot on the green are fun. Again, there's no patrons there. It's just a green jutting out into the water in the beginning of Ray's Creek. But the difficulty and the length for me make it a little less appealing than the former length of the hole, which was a little bit more manageable. I was watching some highlights earlier today and from like 0-2, and Tiger was like, oh, I hit a little 9-iron in there. And I'm like, nobody's hitting 9-iron into that green these days. Bonus points. It is the first part of Amen Corner, that approach shot. And of course, it leads you into two amazing holes, which we'll get to soon.
Yeah, I think that the approach shot on 11 is so unique and wonderful, and it makes for great television views. It's just, I struggle to think of any hole on any course that's anything like this hole.
It's so strange, because now it looks like you almost have to hit a fade off the tee, but the fairway slopes to the left. There's all sorts of trees they put in on the right side of the fairway. And then the approach, you're actually looking at two holes simultaneously with nothing, nothing to break up your view, which, you're right, it's so unique. And there's that little little cabin there on the river, and it's just... The hole, it looks like to us, is the hardest hole on earth, but you see even the best players in the world, they all bail out right because it's so hard.
That water is so scary, and you see and you see guys play it so far right that it ends up off the green, but the grass is so short there, it's almost like an extended green, and it's not a terrible place to be if you're off the green over there. It's just, it's really interesting how guys play it.
Very true. If you play that hole in even par for the weekend, you're picking up at least one, probably two strokes on the rest of the field.
Yeah. No matter what, as a player, I would be a disaster on this hole.
I couldn't agree more.
No chance. Okay, so this can be either on or off air, but we're down to our final two tiers, and each tier has two holes in it, and they're each tied.
Ah, okay.
So we need to figure out how we're going to differentiate them. We both have a situation where it's somebody's number one, but somebody else's lower down is tied with something where two people gave it almost exactly the same ranking, but not as high. Do you have a preference? Or should we play it by ear?
Let's just hash it out and see how it goes.
Okay. So now we're moving on to our second to last tier, which I'm calling the second tier.
And we will call him number two.
So in this, we actually have a tie between two holes. They both scored exactly the same. So we're going to hash it out right here live for you, or I guess delayed in podcast form. Okay, just at random, the first one here, we'll call it our number four. This was my number four and your number three. It is a par 5, 530 yards, hole number 15, Firethorn.
Another example of a really exciting second shot, especially if you're going for the green and two, which most of today's players will. Another great risk-reward hole, where if you stripe your drive on your second shot, you're looking at a great shot at eagle. But if you're in trouble off the tee, or you mishit your second, you might be in the drink. Again, it's a great risk-reward hole, and it just lives in this awesome... The green itself lives in this really cool area on the course between that green and the 16th tee, where fans on the 16th tee can actually see the action on the 15th green across the water, and there's always a lot of action on this hole on the Sunday because it's late in the round and because it's a great scoring opportunity. It's another green with no fans immediately close to the action, which is really unique, and it's... Again, the approach shot is just awesome.
The approach shot is out of this world. It's my favorite approach on the course. We've got another great nickname here. This hole is so good on television. It's just beautiful. And there's a lot of great... It kind of goes back... It's a place where you can really score, but it can also really go wrong. Because there's that water right there, and you don't want to go over the green... But it's just beautiful. The 16 pond is right behind you when you're on the green. I consider this... So it's a smaller, more hipstery Amen Corner. It's just, it's my jam.
It would definitely be a hole I'd like to watch several groups play if I ever get the, if I ever win the lottery and go to that course.
Yeah.
All right. So what's tied with it?
Okay. So tied with it is your number six and my number one.
Ooh.
So they both average to a 3.5. This is par 3, 170 yards, hole number 16, Redbud.
Another great late in the round hole. It's a smart, fair par 3 with some excellent pins. There's a couple up on a shelf there. I want to say it's like the Saturday placement. But this is all about the Sunday pin at this hole. There's always a chance of getting one real close, playing it off the bank to the right of the pin, which would be the middle of the green. The pin's usually back left on Sundays or middle left. There's always a chance to recreate arguably the most popular golf shot of all time, which was Tiger Woods chipping in, and I believe it was 05.
The chip.
Again, maybe the most well-known shot from a mainstream perspective in the world. A birdie here makes the crowd go bananas, and there are great shadows on this hole. It's late in the day. The green is set amongst some really tall, cool, I think they're pine trees, and it's just a beautiful hole. It's great.
I don't have to say much else. This was my number one. This is my absolute favorite hole at Augusta. It is so fun on Sunday with that attackable pin and the slow rolls down the hill. Guys light it up there, and it just trickles down so slowly, and you can just feel the gallery just getting excited. You've got Vern in the tower every year on 16. It's awesome. I'm always expecting a huge hole in one and a big moment on a Sunday there. If I was a patron, I would grab my sandwich and I would just try to stay around 15, 16. It's really my favorite place on the course. But mostly I want to play 16 more badly than I want to play any other hole.
Ah, that's a good way of putting it. I'll definitely say that about another hole shortly.
Yeah, that's the other thing I want to say. You can probably tell by its absence that it's coming. But another reason why I like this hole as my number one is I like it more than 12 because it's easier than 12.
And it's not, that's a fair point.
Maybe not a fun thing to say, but it's just, to me, it's a more fun hole because there's more of a chance of something awesome happening than of something disastrous happening.
That is a fair point. There's definitely more apt to be a birdie at 16 than other holes we're about to talk about. The thing you alluded to where the ball's trickling towards the pin and there's that like groundswell of noise from the crowd getting quiet and getting really loud is not unlike one of your favorite things in sports is in basketball when somebody puts up a three and everybody, you know, is saying the word three in a soft tone and they make it and then they explode. It's not unlike that feeling. And 16 is a great place to watch and hear that happen. Since it's your number one, I think that should be our third ranked hole.
Yes, I was about to make the same call in an executive decision, and then that's also going to be the deciding factor for the next tier, which we're moving
on to now.
So our final tier, this is the tops. Again, we have a tie, but I'm going to give the edge to someone's selection as number one. So that means that our number two hole, which was your number two and my number two, par 5, 510 yards, hole number 13, Azalea.
This hole is so effing cool. We say this a lot, and we'll talk about this maybe afterwards, about the unique things of this course. One of them is the secluded nature of some of these holes, and 13 is right up your introvert alley. No one else is on the tee box besides a cameraman, your caddies, and whoever you're playing with, and the look of that tee shot where a right-hander must hit a draw.
Oh, boy.
It's so cool. There's been a little bit of a knock on it in recent years where the Bubbas of the world can hit a crazy slice over the trees and then have like a 9-iron approach to a par 5, but I don't care. That's part of what makes the hole really cool. And then if that weren't enough, the approach shot on that right-to-left slope with the beautiful woods and flowering plants and small river just outside the fairway there on the left, that second shot is just, it's a painting. You're hitting to a large green, another great risk reward hole. There's a creek running right through right in front of the green. Again, there's an opportunity to make eagle, but just as easily you can make a bogey if you put one in the water. There's so many options, so many different ways to play the hole. When Zach Johnson won his Masters, he laid up every single time, and hey, that worked out great for him. Again, the green is treacherous, but there's some great hole locations. Maybe the best risk-reward hole on the course, and of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Phil's ridiculous shot out of the pine straw back in, I want to say, 2010, when he won his last Masters. The hole is just so much fun, and again, on TV, it plays so well.
You hit all of my points. The seclusion, the introversion. We got another great name, maybe my favorite name of all the holes on the course.
Well, azaleas are just beautiful to begin with. Yes. And it is. It's a great name for a course.
You mentioned the creek.
Or
you
hole,
mentioned
rather.
Phil out of the pine straw. The tee shot, like, it is crazy when you look at that camera shot from above the tee box, how sharp the dog leg is.
Yeah.
It's like you're looking at that screen and you're like, what is around that corner? I love the green. That approach shot is beautiful. I love that it's all by itself. And I love that it is a scoring hole. It's crazy how you sometimes, like, you're almost expecting guys to eagle it, and I think that's cool. There's so many chances for it to pick up strokes here, and in a lot of ways, I feel like this is the hole that wins you the Masters. I don't know, usually I'm a pessimistic guy, but I like the optimism in that statement.
It's a great way of putting it, that I don't want to say it's an aggressive hole, but it's a hole where you want to be under par several strokes throughout the week, and it's a great hole to make a move on Sunday too. Most champions you're going to see are birdieing this hole on their last round as they march down the last five holes of the course. I wanted to bring up one thing we've talked about, kind of the secluded nature of these holes and some things that's really unique to the course. On a hole like 13, and some of the other scenarios on the course, whether it be a green or a tee box where there aren't many patrons around, it's almost like you're just watching people play a practice round.
Mm-hmm.
You're just watching guys out there playing golf on a beautiful course, and that's really cool. I love this hole.
It's so good. I'm glad that we both had it number two. It seems fitting. And that only leaves one hole for number one. This is our best of the best. This was your number one, and it was my number three. Par three, 155 yards, hole number 12, Golden Bell.
For 20 years, this has been my favorite hole in all of golf. And if someone said to me, Justin, you can only play one hole for the rest of your life, before the question was out of their mouth, I would answer number 12 at Augusta National. I adore this hole. It's probably, is it the signature hole at the course? Like, if you were
yes,
to get a postcard
no,
from the
no
course,
question.
Right? Okay. So maybe that's a little populist in that sense, but the setup of the hole is so unique. The walk from the 11th green up to the 12th tee is so cool, where the fans are cheering you on and they want you to do well, but there's no fans behind or around or anywhere near the green or anything back to the 13th tee, nothing. It's such a seemingly simple hole. It only plays 150 yards. For me, that's like an 8-iron. But of course, the hole is known for crazy winds. You've seen guys hit wedge. You've seen guys hit like a 5 or a 6-iron some days, which to me makes it a great thinking man's hole. And that's one of the things I love about it. It's challenging. It's simple. It's fair. It's beautiful. It's unique. And one of the things that makes it unique is it's, when you're on the tee box and you think of a par three, you think of something very narrow and tight. You think of something where the kind of shot shape makes itself because it's a short hole and you're surrounded by trees or what have you. This has to be the widest par three in the world. There's so much grass in front of you and to the right of you. It just looks so much different than anything else in golf. I love this hole.
You mentioned that it's populist, and that's probably why it's not my favorite, but it's also why it should be number one. In the sense, you know, I like to go against a grain when I can. But if I was like, if we were doing a draft and I had the number one pick, Golden Bell has the most value. It's the best player available.
Very true.
But yeah, I mean, I love a par three. The shorter, the better. This is the shortest one on the course. It's tucked away in a corner. There's nobody on the green when you're putting. the bridge. Oh, God. there's so much anxiety that comes with that whole, even as a viewer, when anybody walks up to
so true.
12, it's I'm just like sitting there with my fingers crossed, like, do a good job, do a good job, do a good job. And it's, I don't know if 12 is a hole that you can win the tournament on, but it's definitely a hole that you can lose the tournament on.
So true. And you made a good point about 16 being that is a place that you can score on a par three. At number 12, Golden Bell, you want to make your three and sprint to the next tee box and get out of there.
You're trying to escape.
Yeah, you're trying to escape, which I understand might take away from it a little bit because it's not a hole where a lot of birdies are made. The flip side of that is when you make a birdie, it's a huge deal. There's been so many heartbreaks on this hole with folks not making the green, putting it in a Rae's Creek or chipping it into Rae's Creek from a bunker behind the green. But there's so much history here. There's so much love for this hole. I would imagine when the patrons start filing in, when they open the gates, a dominant majority of them are sprinting to a spot behind this tee and just parking it there for the day, getting to watch what happens on 11, getting to see the shots on 12 tee, and then, you know, somewhat's going on 13. But there's so many holes like this on the course that are secluded, that are quiet, almost a lonely quietness. And for me, that's really cool because so much of golf is you by yourself, what's going on in between your ears. And number 12 really tests that because it's so difficult. And once you hit your tee shot, you know, you're kind of on your own for the next several shots.
I mean, there's an element of chance with that wind, and you're a lot of times, guys, you're just guessing what club and you're playing it by what's the wind like at that minute. And it's, you see guys hit their shot and they know immediately, oops, bad idea. You mentioned that maybe it's not as fun because it's not a scoring hole, but you could easily go the other way and say it's the hole where the pros look like us, because they, like, when I step up to hit a shot, most of the time I don't know where it's going to go. And to see the best golfers in the world face that same dilemma can be exciting.
Agreed. And in that same vein, if you play this hole at even par for the week, you've also gained strokes on the field. I mean, I would imagine anybody in that field, if you said, I'll give you four pars on 12, every one of them would say, sign me up.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult.
Any hole where there's a decent chance, especially a par three, when there's a decent chance that any given player will play four different clubs in four different days,
yes,
is crazy.
And I that's one of my favorite things about golf is when you have to think your way through a shot or think your way through a hole. And there's so much thinking that you see happen between the players and the caddies on this tee box. It goes back to your point about anxiety, because there's so many unknowns and you just really have to commit to a shot. And unfortunately, sometimes you commit to a shot and it's not enough and it gets knocked down by the wind, ends up in the water, or you nuke it and you're over the green, and that sometimes can be even worse. So the green is so tiny and the landing areas are so specific that it just adds to that anxiety and challenge of this hole, which is my favorite.
It's the right choice.
I would play it 18 times in a row if I could.
Like,
that's,
I said,
not true.
I have a note here. I didn't mention it yet, but I wrote, might only not be my number one because I like to go against the grain. It has to be high because it's the hole.
It's totally the hole. And I think a lot of folks would say either it's their favorite or they would love to play it if they could pick any hole. It's just, it's got so much history. The bridge is awesome. And is it the Masters yet?
All right. So that's it. I'll give the rundown here. So we have from the bottom, our number 18, number 4, Flower and Crabapple, 17, number 1, Tea Olive, 16, number 7, Pampas, 15, number 14, Chinese Fir, 14, number 17, Nandina, 13, number 9, Carolina Cherry, 12, number 18, Holly, 11, number 10, Camellia, 10, number 6, Juniper, and then our back 9, number 9 is number 8, Yellow Jasmine, 8 is hole 5, Magnolia, 7 is hole 2, Pink Dogwood, 6 is hole 3, Flowering Peach, 5 is hole 11, White Dogwood, 4 is hole 15, Firethorn. 3 is hole 16, Redbud. 2 is hole 13, Azalea. And 1 is hole 12, Golden Bell.
I mean, 12, 13, and 15, and 16 are just 4 out of 5 holes. It's just a murderer's row.
Yeah.
I mean, that stretch on the course is so fun. And there's so many opportunities to both score and sometimes make a big number. And there's, I love this course. I love this tournament. And one of the coolest things is that you know the players love it and they appreciate it. And that's really cool. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like you meant, that's exactly, we mentioned it offhand before, but that's exactly why no matter how good hole 14 is, it's going to drop because it just can't stand against that Mount Rushmore of holes.
It's in a really, really, it's in really tough company. I think were those our top four, 12, 13, 15, 16?
Yes.
Or not in that order, but, or where was that order?
It 12, 13, 16, 15. But.
Yeah, I mean, oh, good golly. The back nine, and just in general, is amazing.
Yeah.
Such a cool thing. I've said it before that attending the Masters is number one on my bucket list, and that was true before I had a kid. It's still true. I would love to go there someday. I'd be a mess, I'm sure, walking through the gates, but it would be so much fun. And for anybody who's attending, I hope you really have a good time. Or if you're a jerk like Link and you can actually play there, that's even better.
Go get him, Link.
That's right. That'll wrap up this excellent chat. I love me some Masters.
This was fun.
It was a good time. It was a great idea. Thank you for this. Like I said, I wasn't convinced at the beginning, but this was a lot of fun. And any reason to go deep on the Masters makes for a happy Justin. So,
and for listeners, thanks. I recommend, if you're listening to this and want to check it out, go to masters.com and watch all the flyovers. It's fun, and it really gives you a good look at everything.
They're really well done. It's a great site, and there's some cool video stuff on there. So go to masters.com. Get ready for the Masters coming up very soon. We'd love to hear what your favorite holes are. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think works best in the course, and I'm sure that'll open up some discussion between you, David, and I. So thanks again for listening. Happy Augusta, happy Masters, and as Jim Nance might say, bye-bye, friends.